Amen. So before Mark comes, I'm just going to read Ephesians 2, 17 to 22. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
If you picked up as we were reading that passage, it's all about building, isn't it? There's lots of references in this passage to building. And given that I was trained as a civil engineer, before I got involved with Torch, I was building things. I love this passage, and I love the way that building is throughout Scripture. So I'm excited to share this with you. So let's just start with, before we go into the passage, let's start with a few basics we need for a building. Hopefully this ticks your list as well. We need a builder, don't we? If we want a building, we need a builder, someone who's got experience, someone who knows what they're doing. They know how to join all the bits together. They can program out, get the right thing there at the right time, bring everything together on site, create something from the plans and all the materials. We need a purpose. We need a clear understanding of what we're going to use this building for. What's its function? What's going to drive the design? We need, of course, a location. No building without this location, we want something that's safe and secure, don't we? A place that we know for sure this building is going to serve its purpose well in the community in which it's placed. We need strong foundations. There's a lot of weight in a building. All that steel, all that concrete, and all those people, and all the stuff we put inside the building, it's all going to weigh a lot. So we need some really strong foundations. We need a plan to guide us, to direct the building, so we know from day one this is what it's going to look like. And this is what's going to guide us step by step. And we need some materials, some suitable materials to build that building with. Concrete and stone and steel and all those things. But, you know, those materials all have to be specially chosen. I spent actually quite a lot of my time in my engineering career choosing materials, specifying what they should be, being offered materials by the builder, and then deciding whether I like them or not, whether they fit what their purpose was. I've got some materials here. Here's some materials. I just thought I'd share this with you. This is from my story. These are materials. It's concrete. It's a core of concrete. It comes from a bridge on the M25. And if you ever go to Gatwick, you go over this bridge. And I was there when we were taking these cores out. Actually, I was inside the bridge because it's got a box inside it. That's where these cores came from. But all those stones and all those components are specially chosen to make that strong. I've got another core. This is the runway. This comes from Farnborough's runway, the surface of Farnborough's runway. Who would have thought? But all those stones and the way that's put together is specially designed to take the weight of an aircraft. You imagine how heavy an aircraft is, how heavy their tires are, all that load. Specially chosen. Specially chosen. Remember that? So, I think we need to start building. We need some building blocks, don't we? I've got some building blocks. Not chocolates, I'm afraid. So, I'm going to give these out. Would you like one? I'm going to In fact, Judy, would you mind to pass those around for me? It's not that we're going to play Jenga at all. But you know what? Every one of those bricks, every brick that you, when you've got that in your hand, you have a look at that brick, because, and you compare it to the one, to the person next to you. They're not the same. They might be the same shape, but everyone is unique. It's got that grain through it. Everyone, every single brick is different. I hope there's enough for everyone. If I got my calculation roughly right. So just imagine yourself to be that brick, that Jenga brick. I know it's a bit of an imagination. Or to consider this to be a stone, let's say, to be a stone. We're going to come back to this in the talk. Right, I'm going to move on to our passage, but I'm going to pick up the passage, actually, Judy kindly read from the NIV. When I looked at the passages, I like the what it says in the Message. And I'm going to use the Message and just verses 19 to 22. So I'm just going to read that to you again. God is building a home. He's using it all, using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for foundations. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone. With Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together, we see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. I love that. I love that passage. So let's just break this down a little bit, just have a look at what this passage really says. So firstly, who is the builder? Who's the builder? Well, I think that's quite evident, isn't it? The builder is God. God is at work. In fact, I think it's Jesus. As you see the title of my slides, Jesus the Master Builder. Now, what did Jesus do before he started his ministry? Anybody got an idea?
He's a carpenter.
Carpenter, you say? Ah, well, I wonder where you got that idea from. Because Scripture says that it doesn't actually tell us what Jesus did. What it says is that he was the son of a carpenter. Now, carpenter comes from the word tekton. Tekton. Actually, that's part of the word architect. Architecton.
Tectonic plates.
Probably. You're right, yeah. Maybe. But actually, we have the King James to thank us for choosing the word carpenter. The King James Version. In fact, that word is better translated as a stonemason, or as a builder, or a joiner, rather than a carpenter. Okay? So, that's just a bit of insight. So what that scripture says there, he was in the family business. He did what his father, Joseph, his stepfather did. He was the son of a stonemason, let's say. He was the son of a small-time builder. He was the son of someone who was very practical, and he would have learnt the family business. He would have used his hands. And I love that whole idea that Jesus was very practical. He himself was a builder in his life on earth. And if you think about it, he would have then been taught by his father about all the references. He'd have read in Scripture himself, wouldn't he? The Scripture's full of references to stone. Right back in Genesis, we hear about altars, stone being used as altars. We hear about stone being used as pillars, stone to build walls, stone to build temples and towers. All through Scripture, there's references to building. It's there when we look. And when Jesus then uses illustrations, he doesn't use illustrations from woodwork. He uses illustrations often about stones and buildings. About stuff that, do you remember, he commented on a tower that had fallen down. He probably thought, I wonder who was the builder of that one. They got it wrong, didn't they? He talks about building vineyards. He talks about counting the cost when you're building something. But he also talks about building on the rock, doesn't he? He talks about firm foundations. When you're choosing to build something, don't build on the sandy land. Build it on the rock. Build it on a permanent good foundation. And, I mean, that's from Jesus' life. But, hey, he's also supremely qualified, isn't he? As the Son of God, the Creator, there at the beginning, experienced in making things. And when I was thinking about this actually this morning, we have a verse in our hallway, and I was thinking about what scripture sums that up. There's a verse, Psalm 121, verse 2. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. The Maker, God himself, is the builder, and Jesus was there in the beginning. So he is right there at the heart of things. Who is the builder? The builder is Jesus, the Son of God. Well, what's being built? Let's move on. What is being built? What is being built? Well, we've got some references there to God is building a home, as they put it in the message, a holy temple, a temple in which God is quite at home. Over the years, though, we've built other things, haven't we? We've built things like this. Anybody recognize this? Anybody recognize this? Oh, well, this is at the heart of your town. This is the Abbey. This is a reconstruction of the Abbey in Reading. Do you know, when that was built, it was bigger than St. Paul's Cathedral. It was a really big place. And if you look at the top there, Has this got a light on it? No, it hasn't. Okay, at the top is the River Kennet. That's the bend in the River Kennet. Maybe you can just see here. This is the gate. You might recognize. And this is the Forbury Gardens. Now, there's a few other bits in here you might recognize. This is... what's the river that runs through the town? Holy Brook. Why was it Holy Brook? Because it supplied water to the abbey. There's the Kennet. And do you know what this is here? St. Lawrence Church. There you go. You know, the abbey may not be there, but what really matters is that I think the town, in part, the character of the town, the heart of the town is in part shaped by the fact that over 900 years ago, King Henry I built this abbey. The town has been a place of prayer for all these years. And actually, so much of what I was sharing about Torch earlier and what Melanie's doing and what we see in this community is that God has blessed this town in quite a remarkable way. There are over 100 churches in Greater Reading. There are so many faith charities. God has blessed this place in a remarkable way. One last thing. Anybody for the nurses in the room? This building here apparently was the infirmary or the hospital for the monks and for the local community. So that even then, the abbey had a mind for those in sick and the poor in our community. Well, that was quite interesting when I saw that. So, let's move on then. What is being built? A home. A home where God can dwell among his people. You know, this is the theme of Scripture, isn't it? Right from the beginning. It started in the Garden of Eden. We were dwelling with God. He was at one with us, but when we rejected him and went our own way, what's Scripture all about now? It's all about recovery. God getting back to his people, God longing to be in relationship once more with his people. And that started, if you like, with the tabernacle in the desert, the Holy of Holies, God wanting to be there, that temporary temple. Then there was the permanent temple in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, again, stone and brick, and God working, wanting to be among his people. But still, he wanted to do more than that. That's why he sent Jesus, to be and dwell among us, to tabernacle among us, to be in our presence. And then, of course, Pentecost. Pentecost, the release of the Holy Spirit, that we might all personally know the Lord, that we might all know him. And ultimately, of course, that's what heaven is about, isn't it? That's what paradise is all about. Walking in the garden of heaven with Jesus. Ultimately, in his presence. That's really what God is doing through the church in right now. Is he wants to dwell among us. He wants to be with us. A building where he feels at home. A place that is a temple, in essence. A temple in which he feels quite happy to be here. Okay, what about the foundations? Well, the foundations, Scripture tells us, he used the apostles and the prophets for the foundations. So, what comes to mind when you think about the apostles and the prophets? Well, you think about all the big names in Scripture, don't you? You think about the Noahs and the Isaiahs and the Jacobs. You think about the apostles, the Pauls, the Johns, the Philips, the Thomases. You think about all that spiritual heritage, all that historical knowledge of God, all that is revealed, the revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the testimony of all those people. And where is that contained? Of course, where is that contained? In the Word of God, isn't it? That's the foundation. That's the foundation on which we can build our life upon. That's the foundation on which the church needs to be built upon. That's a sure and solid foundation. This is what it's all about. And what's that book contain? What's it all about? Right at the core, it's about Jesus, isn't it? Jesus, beginning to end. Jesus. Okay. And what is the plan? What is the plan? With Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. So, when I say a plan, you might have thought, oh, he's looking for a drawing here. Actually, I think it's more about the way the whole thing is designed. Because a cornerstone is a keystone that in ancient times, when you were setting out a building, this was the first big stone that you laid. Because it sets the alignment. In fact, it was that being the first, that's important, isn't it? The first stone, it was often celebrated. There was often sacrifices related to it. There was often a time where the dignitaries came to mark that event, to come and be a part of that event. Because that stone defines the corner, the alignment, the shape that's going to follow. It's usually big and strong and represents the beginning of that building. Now, here's a stone. Anybody know where this is? Anybody know what this is all about? If you've walked past the town hall, you need to look up. So this is over one of the doors and windows of the town hall. Do you know what this depicts? Henry there. Henry I laying at the marking the time when the foundation stone was laid, the cornerstone was laid for the abbey. It was a big event. It's quite a big stone. Actually, you can get much bigger foundation stones, cornerstones as well. And so that's where we come back to the fact that Jesus is our cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone that holds everything else together. Without him, the building would fail. He is the chief cornerstone. And Interestingly, of course, in Acts, where Peter is talking and explaining what's gone on in those early days after the arrival of the Holy Spirit, after Pentecost, he says this statement, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." The very stone that everybody else ignored and decided to kill and rejected out of hand actually is now right center, the most important stone of all, the cornerstone, Jesus, our primary reference stone. So I thought that was quite interesting, that that should be right in our town, right there. So let's just go back and think about the components of our building again. So we know who the builder is. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus at the heart of everything. A purpose. We know it's here as a temple for him to dwell in us. To dwell among us. To be here. A suitable location. Well, I've got a suitable location. I thought Reading's not a bad place, is it? Obviously, somebody thought it was a good place to build an abbey. This is a map of Reading, but it's also got on it all the needs, referrals that have been made to Torch. I think God has a real purpose in building his church in Reading. So, there's the location. You're on that. In fact, there are crosses on there signifying all the churches that we're working with. You're on that. What's the foundation? What do we decide? The Bible. I tell you what, let's put some Bibles on here. There we go. The Bible. The most reliable book. The most read book, the biggest book in history. There are more editions, more versions, more books of the Bible, and increasingly, amazingly, as well at the moment. The Bible. What next? A plan. What did we say the plan was? We said it was a cornerstone. I think we need a good stone, don't we? So you've got some stones. Here's my cornerstone. What about that? Jesus. Jesus through and through. Jesus, the cornerstone. Resting on the firm foundations of Scripture. But we still need some building materials, don't we? You've got those building materials in your hands. You've got those building materials in your hands. This is what God is going to use, amazingly, to build his church. This is the plan. There's no other plan. Plan A is to use us. With all our faults and all our weaknesses and all our defects, everything that is we deplore about what's gone wrong in the church, somehow God's going to redeem it all. It's all in his plan. That he would use his church and that he would use us to build the church. So we get to be a part of this story. We get to rest on the foundations of Jesus. We get to be a part of what he's doing. Here we go. Maybe you can see that better. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? The thing is, we can only be a part of that if we make ourselves available, can't we? We've got to be willing to offer ourselves our piece of the story, our part, play our part, so that God can do something amazing through us. It's a great joy to see what he is doing in so many, many amazing ways. It's a great joy to see how he uses his people, sinful, struggling, from all the different backgrounds. In fact, this passage is set in the context of where he's talking about bringing everybody, Jew and non-Jew, of all colors, of all denominations, of all types, together to build his church. That's what he's doing in this community of all the desperate need that there is out there. God is using each one of us to be a part of building something, something quite remarkable. That's you and me. That's not someone else's job. It's not some other person. Actually, it's you and me. Let's just read this again. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you and me, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day. That's what we've been hearing about, haven't we? We see it taking shape. A holy temple built by God. All of us built into it. Literally built into it. A temple in which God is quite at home. I think God smiles on you because he's pleased to be here. He's pleased to be in this place. He's pleased to see where your heart is and what you're doing. So, is God really about building abbeys and cathedrals? Is it really about the bricks and mortar or the stones? Actually, it's more about, I love that on your banner there, where everyone can belong, where everybody has a part. It's about the people, isn't it? It's not about the building itself. It's about the people here, people of God. So, just as I summarize, we are called as living stones. Peter uses this word, living stones. It's effectively what we are, aren't we, as part of a building, the temple of God, where he can dwell. Jesus-centered, spirit-filled, and spirit-led. That's what we want to be. Relational. Be relational. Keep being relational. Keep offering that welcome. Keep reaching out to people, crossing the street, just as Jesus wanted us to do. Go and do likewise, as he spoke of in the Good Samaritan. And we are called to be kingdom builders, offering that wholeness that Melanie talked about, offering that fullness of life to everyone in our community. So, Southcote Family Church, as you build your future, and I see here you've got your new vision and values to some extent, is that right? Oh, comments on the vision. Okay, but you've got some new vision and values going forward. Just remember, Jesus is the master builder. He gets to decide. We go the way he leads us. And he has a great plan for us all. A great plan. We may not fully understand it. It may not be clear entirely. He may take us one step at a time, but he has a plan, a clear plan. He is the utterly reliable foundation we can firmly build upon day by day. We can be assured he is with us. And he's building a church, and we get to be a part of it. Amazingly, he's going to use us all to build his church here in Reading. Bless you. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are here among us, and you choose to be here among your people. You choose to be the center of everything. You are in, it's your plan. You're in the foundations. You are the cornerstone. You live in us by your Holy Spirit. And in that, you are doing something beautiful and something wonderful. And we pray your blessing on this church. I pray your blessing on the leadership. I pray your blessing on every member, that they may feel included. I pray your blessing on those who will walk through the doors, Lord, of this church in the coming weeks and months and find you here and meet you too for the first time. Lord Jesus, may you be present. May your spirit move. May you build everyone together in love and in harmony, glued together because we all hold to your lordship. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in your church, in this place. To God be the glory. Amen.